spiritual blessings. We know that they are part of the blessings that we have of being in Christ Jesus. There are so many, it would be difficult for me to sit here and try to count all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, but I want to talk about one special blessing that we have in being in Christ, and that is the blessing of prayer. Knowing that whenever we make our petitions known to God, wherever we might be, under any circumstance, under anything that might be ailing us, it is comforting, it is encouraging, it is edifying to know that what we need and what we need most, that God is willing to hear us and is willing to help us. Prayer is much more than some formal words that we say before every meal, before we go to bed at night, when we gather around this table on the Lord's Day, and when we have opening and closing prayer in our worship services. Prayer is much more than just a simple communication with our Father in heaven. Prayer is a communication with our Creator, the opportunity to petition the throne of mercy and grace in time of need, in time of thanks, and in time of tribulation. It's an opportunity that we can go to God with the things that are deeply impressed upon our soul, the needs that we have, the difficulties we face, and the challenges that lie before us every day. It's just simply trying to live for Christ. For this avenue to be a spiritual benefit, we must use it in the way that God has given it to us. And so this morning, for a few moments, I would like to talk to you about the seven laws of acceptable prayer. There are seven things that we need to consider when we pray, that we might make our prayers not only acceptable to God, but we might make them profitable, that they might do what we're offering them to God for. The first thing I want to talk about in the law of prayer is the first thing you have to do, you have to ask. Turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Look at with me at verse number 11. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? You know, I know in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, the Bible says he knows the things that we need even before we ask. But we first must ask. God has required and expected of us that we show our faith, our confidence, our trust, and our understanding that God cares about us, that God understands what we're going through, that God understands the needs that we have in our life. But God has commanded us that we first must ask, and we should address him in a humble way, understanding that we are talking to the God of heaven, understanding that we are making a petition from one who has the power and the ability to do more than we even know how to ask. Asking shows our confidence and faith in him as the only true and living God, and knowing that he is the only one that can change the course of things in this world. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift cometh from above. Everything we hope and everything that we might need in our life, we can be assured that if we ask God, that he hears us, that he understands us, that he's willing to aid us, and he's willing that we should petition him in time of trial, in time of need, and in time of difficulty. While I was away in the Philippines, it was so comforting to hear my Filipino brethren praying for my brethren back here and praying for my family. They believed that there was power in prayer. They believed that asking God gives them strength. It also strengthened their courage and their commitment to the Lord. I think that many times we fail to ask for what we need most. And it's sad because as children of God, the spiritual blessing of prayer is only for those who are God's children. The people in the world do not have this blessing. The people outside of Christ do not have this encouragement that they can have in their life. And so for prayer to be acceptable, it must first be asked. Second, it must be asked by a righteous person. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at the writings of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, for the eyes of our Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the faith of the Lord is against those who do evil. It is true that God hears and sees everything that man may do upon this earth. Anything that is offered to him in any expression, God hears. But what he obligates himself to answer depends on the spiritual condition of the one who is asking. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 15. And in verse number 29, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. In John chapter 9, after healing a blind man, and the Pharisees trying to trip him up and trying to discredit Jesus for the miracle that he said. And he said, we know that God does not hear sinners. But we need to clarify that. Yes, God hears sinners. He hears the petitions that they make. But he has no obligation to answer them because they are not part of his family. They are not the ones that he has obligated himself to hear. But he does hear their words. God is not asking that we have sinless perfection. For if that was needed, none of us could pray. But he is asking that we be a man and a woman of righteousness. The Bible says in James 5, verse 17, that Elijah was a man like passion of us. Now Elijah prayed that it would not rain for a period of 3.5 years, and it did not rain, but Elijah had his problems. He was in a cave, and he was hiding because he thought he was the only one left. But we know that God told him that there were 7,000 others who had not bowed their knee to Baal. So yes, none of us are perfect, but we need to make sure that we are in a right relationship with God when we pray. A righteous man will always seek to obey God and follow him. In 1 John chapter 8, in his letter, his three short letters, in his first letter, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, we read, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We need to understand that Jesus expects us to be righteous when we petition his throne of mercy and grace. In chapter 3 of the same book, in verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. The wicked ones regard iniquity to the heart, and they are evil from within. That's what Psalm 68 and verse 18 tells us. We never forget that God sees the heart. God sees what's really in man. He knows what's in him. He knows what's on his mind. He knows what motivates him. He knows what makes him the kind of person that he is. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, it says, God does not judge by the outward appearance, but he judges by the inward man. Seeking to hear and obey God's will help us in our prayers. In Acts chapter 10, we read about a praying man named Cornelius. And in Acts the 10th chapter, in verse 31, we see the heart of this man. In verse 33 of Acts chapter 10, so I sent for you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all things commanded of you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Prayer is for one who is seeking to do God's will. It is one who is seeking God's forgiveness, but it must be one that is also willing to extend it to others. Jesus made the criteria in Matthew the 6th chapter, verse 14 and 15, that he will not forgive us if we are not willing to forgive others. If we expect God to be forgiving to us, we must be willing to extend that same type of forgiveness to those who sin against us. We must be willing to turn, and we must ask as a righteous person. Maybe sometimes if your prayers are not working or you think your prayers are not doing what they can, maybe it's because of the life that we are living. Maybe it's something that is lacking in our life that we need to correct. But we need to ask as a righteous person. But the next thing we need to do is we need to ask in accordance to His will. In 1 John chapter 5, Jesus makes it very clear. The Apostle John wrote in verse 14 of the 5th chapter, he wrote, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us whatever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." One needs to have a clear vision of what God's purpose is in our life. No matter what the matter we are praying for, we expect Him to answer for His glory, not for our own selfish good. We need to keep in mind when we pray that we are praying for things in accordance with God's will. We are praying with things that will glorify and honor Him. And we are not asking for things selfishly, but we're asking things that we have the right to ask for. We need to pray like Jesus when He was in the garden, when He was looking at the cross, when He knew what lied ahead, when He knew about the scourging, the beating, the betrayal, the loneliness. He understood the pain that would be in the cross, and He prayed that if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but Thy will be done. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not know always what God's will is for us in our life. We do not know why we go through some of the things that we go through. We do not always have the answers to the questions that we would like to have answers to. But when we pray things according to His will, we know that God answers that prayer. The Bible tells us that our trials and our tribulations can make us stronger. They can teach us things about patience and perseverance. It can teach us things about depending upon God more than we depend upon ourselves. But we need to remember that prayer is not some selfish tool that I use as a benefit just for the things that I want, the things that I desire, but that my desire should be to do God's will, that His will would be permanent and active in my life. And that's why it wouldn't do you much good to pray for $1 million, even if you were going to do some good with the $1 million. Because James 4, verse 3 says that's asking amiss. We can't ask for selfish things. We must ask according to God's will. Let me give you an illustration. While I was away, many times the Filipino brethren would pray, "If it be Thy will that I return home safely." And that's indeed true. I don't know what God's will was. I don't know if I would return home safely. I don't know what His will is for me in my life. But I know that whatever lies ahead of me, whatever lies before me, that my responsibility is to be faithful and to the best of my ability. To pick myself up when I make a mistake, to correct the things that are wrong, to do the things in a way that will bring glory and honor to Him, and to learn by the mistakes that I've made and not to make them again. But the Bible tells me that if I ask according to His will, He hears my prayer. When I need strength, when I need comfort, when I need guidance, when I need direction, that's something God will give to me if I will ask Him, and if I will depend upon Him, and if I will let Him lead me. And then He will do that if I will do my part. But there's something else that I must do with an acceptable prayer. I must ask in the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, in the Gospel of John, in John the 14th chapter, verse 13, "And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. And the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." In the same chapter, book, in chapter 15, verse number 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, He may give you." Ladies and gentlemen, this is more than a formality. We don't pray through Jesus Christ because it's a formality. We don't pray through Jesus Christ because that's the way to end the prayer. There's a reason why we pray through Christ. And the reason that we pray through Christ at the close of a prayer is that we understand His relationship to the Father. And we also understand that He is the one that must be approached through Him. You remember the words of Jesus in John 14, verse 6? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except he go through me." The reason that we pray through Christ is because He is the avenue. He is the way that we can reach the Father. He is the avenue that God has given us in order that we may attain to his throne. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, we read of his role in prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. He is the one that we go through. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Look at verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. Therefore, he is also able to save those to the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You know the reason that he's an excellent mediator? Because he understands man. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, he was tempted in all ways like as we, yet without sin. Jesus understands what we're going through. Jesus understands the struggles and trials that we have as children of God. He understands what it means to live in this sinful world. He understands the pressures that we are under. He understands the temptation that we face daily. He understands that the devil is trying to discourage us, disillusion us. He's trying to destroy our soul. He's trying to destroy our relationship with God. And he understands that because he suffered the same way. Our Lord understands the plight of man. He understands that there are things that we need his help in. God never intended for you to walk the road to glory all by yourself. God knew that you would need help. God understood that you would need help in combating your enemy. God knew that you would need help in combating the difficulties that you face in this life. God knew that. And knowing that, he sent his son to pay the price that you and I could not pay. But then he also sent his son to experience the same things that we experience so he could be the perfect mediator. He understands God because he is God, but he also understands man because he lived as a man. By his authority through him, he is our high priest. We can boldly petition him and ask for the things that we need. And so praying through Christ means that we understand his authority. We understand that he is the one that gives us access to the Father. We understand that he died for us. He gave his life for us. He shed his blood for us. He paid the redemption price that you and I might be able to petition the throne in time of need. Without the blood of Christ, you would have no way of petitioning the throne. Without the authority of Jesus Christ, you would have no access to the Father. And so we must understand that praying through Christ is not some formality. It's not something we do because the prayer is over. It's something we demonstrate the authority of Christ. We demonstrate his role as a mediator, and we demonstrate that he is our way to the Father. And so that's why we pray through Jesus Christ. But my dear brother, prayer is absolutely useless if it's not asked in faith. I want to spend a few moments about this part. A prayer that is effective is one that is asked in faith. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Unwavering faith that is based on something that is secure. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God will surely heed our needs as long as we pray according to his will, and as long as we believe that that prayer can be answered. One of the things that makes much prayer ineffective is that it is prayed by one who does not have faith in what he is asking for. Let me give you a Bible illustration. Turn over to Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, Next, after 5, we have Ananias and Sapphira, and great fear came upon those because they lied to the Holy Spirit. But I think that's not the passage that I want. I want chapter 12. Chapter 12. I want you to look at verse 5. I want you to look at verse 5, and I want you to notice what is happening. James has been beheaded. Peter has been taken prisoner. He's been put in prison, and Herod plans to kill Peter also after the holy day. And so look at verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. They were constant in prayer, asking for God's intervention that Peter might not die. Look down later on, and look in chapter 12, and then look at verse 12. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and there were many gathered together praying. And Peter knocked at the door and of the gate, and a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." She kept insisting, so they said, "It is his angel." My brother, what were they praying for? They were praying that God would intervene, that Peter's life would be spared, and there Peter is, the answer to their prayer. And yet they did not believe. Brethren, why pray if you don't believe? If you don't believe that God hears, if you don't believe he can deliver, if you don't believe he can do what you ask, then you're wasting your breath. You've got to ask in faith. You've got to ask knowing that God knows what's best. You know, I might pray for something, but it might not be what's best for me. I might pray for this, but God's answer is that you don't need that. It's something that you don't need. It's something, maybe there's something else that I need. Or maybe I need to suffer this trial. Maybe I need to go through this tribulation. Maybe there's some lesson God wants me to learn. I don't understand, but do I have faith that God knows what's best? And you know what it means, asking in faith? It means to be ready to receive the answer that God gives, even if that answer is no. God doesn't always say yes. He doesn't always answer no either. But sometimes the answer is by wait. Are we willing? Are we willing? Do we have faith in God that he can work all things to good in our life? Do we have that much faith in him? Faith is not influenced by the circumstances at hand, for it rests on the integrity of the one who has promised that he will hear us. Why pray if we believe that God cannot give us the request that we ask for? I've heard brethren say, "Well, I guess I prayed. I'll try everything. I've tried everything else." Save your breath. If God is the last one you think about, if God is the last one you turn to, if God is the last one that you petition, if God is something you use as a safety valve, then you really don't trust God. You really don't believe in God, and you really don't have faith in God. But faith means that we are acceptance of whatever God may answer to the prayers that we offer. Now, he didn't say that we will always like the answer, did he? But he said he would answer. And sometimes his answer we must accept. Do you have faith when you pray? And brethren, another thing we need to do, we need to ask for definite things. We need to ask for definite things. We need to ask for what we need. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 11 and 12. If a son asks for bread, would any father among you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? And if then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. You know, all great men in the Bible were praying men. Men that prayed to God and God gave them great blessing. Elijah prayed for no rain and it was held back for 3.5 years in 1 Kings chapter 17. And we read that in James 5 verse 18. Paul prayed for his thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that it might be removed, and God said, my grace is sufficient. We also read in the Bible, Hezekiah prayed to have his life extended when he was told, set thine house in order, for you shall die and not live. 2 Kings 20. He prayed that his life would be extended, and his life was extended 15 years. We need to be definitive in our prayer. We need to pray what we need, and we need to define what it is that we need. We need to be specific when we pray to God. If you need patience, ask for patience. If you need help bearing a burden, tell him the burden. Tell him what you need. Be definitive when you pray. Tell him what you really need. Tell him what's on your heart. Tell him what's in your mind. Tell him what you're struggling with. You say, well, he already knows. I know he knows. But he wants you to trust him. He wants you to bear your soul. You need to ask him for what you think you need. Maybe what you think you need is not what you need. And maybe God will give you something else, but you need to ask for the things that you need. God delights to give us precisely what we ask for that will give him glory and honor. But maybe sometimes we don't know what to ask for. I'm going through this struggle. I'm going through this difficulty. I don't know how to tell him. Turn to Romans chapter 8. God has an answer for that. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That now he who searches the heart because of the mind of the Spirit is. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. Maybe you don't know what words to say. Maybe you don't know how to put them together. Maybe you don't know exactly what you need. But if you bear your heart to the Lord, he knows. He understands. And he'll make sense of it. But we need to understand, brethren, that when we ask for definitive things, that maybe we don't need those things. And again, it goes back to, do we trust God? Do we believe that he knows better than us? But the last thing that we need to make prayer acceptable is that it must be asked with a thankful heart. Brethren, one of the things that I have learned since I have been going overseas in these last 6 years, is I have really come to understand what it means to be blessed by God. I understand how lucky I am to live in the country that I live in. I understand how blessed I am to have the advantages and the opportunities that many people just dream about. And I understand that God has done much for me. And I understand that he continues to do much for me. And it ought to make me thankful when I pray to him, not always asking, not always petitioning, not always requesting, but do we ever pray to thank God for the things in our life? Do you ever just pray to thank God? Thank God for your life. Thank God for your wife, your husband, for your children, for your job, for the ability that God blessed you with, the opportunities that those abilities give you. Do you ever just stop time, take time to ask and thank God for what he blesses you with? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we often read verse 17, and indeed it's a good passage, and we ought to pray without ceasing. But in the very next verse, in verse number 18, it says, in everything giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We ought to pray without ceasing, but in everything we ought to give thanks. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Brethren, There is not a dark hour. There is not a struggle so difficult that one should ever forget to add thanks to the prayer that he offered before the throne of God. Paul and Silas were in prison, wrongfully accused, put in there because a man made false accusation against them. But in Acts 16, what were they doing? At midnight, they were singing and they were praying and the other prisoners were listening. Thankful for the blessings of prayer. Do you ever thank him for the blessing of prayer? Prayer is something, that's a blessing. You can petition the throne of God. You can call upon him anytime, any place, for anything. And you know that he hears you. You know that his ears are open. You know that he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do you ever thank him for the care that he has? Do you thank him for the gift of redemption? Do you thank him for the Son that took your place where you should have been, where I should have been, on the cross to die for my own sin? Do you ever thank him for that sacrifice, for the redemption that that sacrifice brought? God has a constant watch over the care of his children. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, he says he will never leave us or forsake us. God will never turn his back on you. If you're in a relationship and you're at odds with God, it's not because God's turned his back on you. It's because you've turned your back on him. And the reason he can't help you is because you haven't put yourself in a position for him to help you. We need to be thankful. We need to be grateful. And we need to understand what a blessing that prayer is. Do we thank God for the things that make our life joyful? The relationships that we have, spouses, children, the relationship we have in brethren. Do we thank God for those blessings? Or do we just mainly take them for granted? I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. You know, I think every gospel preacher must have his favorite passage of scripture. He must have one that he reads a lot. I want to share mine with you. It's in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know what that means? That means God can do more exceedingly and abundantly beyond what we can ever think or what we ever ask. That means you are tapping into an unlimited supply source. You have a God that can answer every need that you have in your life. You can talk to God whenever the time that you need in your life. But my dear brother and sister, do we ever take time to thank God? To thank him from our heart for the things that he gives us in Christ? Do you understand what a blessing it is to be in Christ? To be able to pray. To be able to gain forgiveness when we fall. To be able to ask for strength and help in time of need. To ask for comfort when our heart is aching. To ask for guidance when we are struggling to find our way. To ask for assurance when we have doubt in our mind. And to ask for help in the relationships that we have when they're not what they should be. Are we thankful? Do we ever thank God for what he has done for us? Prayer is a powerful tool. It is a blessing that I believe is untapped by many brethren. And the reason is they don't understand its value, or they don't believe that it works, or they don't trust God enough to turn over the things that they are struggling with in life. Please take your song books out and turn to song that's been selected. What I recommend, the next time that you hear a public prayer offered, listen very carefully. Listen carefully to what is being said. Listen carefully to the petitions that are being made to the throne of glory. And remember that the God in heaven is listening. You know what amen means? It means so be it. It is your sign of agreement with what just has been prayed. That's why it's important to pray in front of these microphones so everybody can hear your prayer. So we can say amen because we heard what was said. It is important that we understand that prayer is a valuable commodity, that God has blessed those who are his children. But you know, prayer cannot do some things that the world says it can do. The sinner's prayer can't put you into a relationship with Christ. The Bible says the only way you can have a spiritual relationship with Christ is you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. That can only be done when you hear the Word of God. And that faith comes by hearing, and that faith will be generated, that it will motivate you to do something. It will show you the conduct of your life is not acceptable to God, and that will convict you of sin, and you're willing to repent of that sin. And you're willing to turn from that sin and turn away from it and turn towards God and seek His forgiveness. And then you're willing to confess what you believe in your heart, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that He is your Lord and Savior, that He is your Master, and you're going to change allegiance from the world, and you're going to do things according to His will, not your own. And then you submit to baptism, not for power of water, not for water salvation, but to contact the blood of Christ that you might have your sins remitted. And then when you come up out of that grave, you know, we talk about your sins have been remitted. You're now as white as snow. You now have a relationship. Now you're in the family of God. You also have one more thing when you come out of that water. You could say, my Father, who art in heaven, because now you are one of his children. And that is a blessing that's only for his children. And you don't get that blessing by prayer. You get that blessing by obedience to the gospel plan of salvation. That makes you a recipient of the benefit of prayer. But maybe you're here and you're struggling with your life as a Christian. We all go through times when we struggle. We need to pray. If we've done things wrong, we need to pray and ask God to forgive us. We need to turn away from the sin. We can pray with you and for you to give you strength and help. We'll be more than happy to do that. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We can help you in any way. We bid you come forward as together we stand and sing.